a drink of gin, why don't you do right like some other man?
Sharonay Wade featured on there. That is Why Don't You Do Right. There's some great versions of that. And Oren Etkin there on clarinet. That's from his new album, What's New? Reimagining Benny Goodman. The music of Benny Goodman, which is quite dated to a lot of ears. But Oren, you've really done a splendid job of bringing it right back into the contemporary framework with this. How did you go about kind of wanting to honour Benny Goodman at the same time as, you know, bringing that music right into the fore? What were your thoughts when you approached this project?
Well, when I listened to Benny Goodman, he was just simply being himself. And he was playing music that was fresh and new to so many ears at that time. So really, it would be doing a disservice to him in my mind if I tried to just copy him. Yeah. And it would be bound to fail. But instead, I'm trying to kind of take inspiration from the spirit of what he was doing and use that to push me in new directions.
And there's a version of this, you say, with Peggy Lee, featured with Benny Goodman.
Yeah.
So that's one to seek out if you don't know it. Sharonay Wade is with you. She was just here last week. I was just talking about it about an hour ago, and has been touring around with you as well. So she's going to be at the Pizza Express gig, which is great. So tonight, tomorrow, chance to see Sharonay Wade once again, and also Helen Sung on piano. Both of these guys recently here with Terry Lynn Carrington. Mm-hmm. Your label mates with Sharonay, you kind of must follow closely what she does. She's a wonderful vocalist.
Actually, we went to school together, so we've known each other for a long time. Yep, at Manhattan School of Music.
Yeah, right.
She also sings on my, I have a project for kids called Timbalulu, Wake Up Clarinet.
Yeah.
And she sings on that, so we play together a lot.
I've heard you talking about this before. This is a great little project where you use your instrument to bring stories for kids to life. What made you interested in doing that? Was it just wanting to get kids into the sound of the clarinet?
Well, for me, being a musician, you have responsibility to teach the next generation. And the way I feel I'm most effective doing that is really by teaching the youngest ages when they're still learning. Because music is essentially a language. And the way that kids learn a language at that young age, they don't think about how to conjugate. They don't know what the word conjugate means, how to conjugate a verb. But they conjugate every verb correctly. So they're not thinking about all the rules. And the way we teach music, oftentimes, we teach the rules first, just like we teach a foreign language, and it's hard for them to express themselves, even after learning a lot. So I really tried to develop a way to teach music in the same way that the kids learn languages in that really young age. And we have so I developed this whole method, Timbalulu, and we have classes throughout New York with teachers that I've trained who teach the Timbalulu method in schools and in homes around the city. We've had over 2,000 kids go through the method.
Oh, it's like a franchise.
Yeah. We're actually trying to figure out ways to bring it to the UK as well.
Yeah. We've got kids here too.
You got kids here too? Oh, all right.
Funky. Yeah. So there you go. If you're a music teacher and you're interested in that, look up Oren, I should say.
Oren, yep.
Oren Etkin is here. And we're going to be playing some more from this excellent new album. I've been playing some of the more progressive sounds on The Blueprint, my Saturday show. But there's some lovely appealing stuff on there for, you know, unacquainted ears. Your band, you've kept the same kind of music framework that Benny Goodman had, you know, as in musicians and the type of instruments they play, right? Tell me more about that.
Yeah, this band that Benny Goodman had in the 30s is really unique instrumentation that nobody's explored since then with clarinet, although I'm playing also bass clarinet and sax on the album, and then vibes, piano, and drums, so no bass. And then that sound of the clarinet and the vibes and the piano, it's like... Yeah. The mix is, for me also, when I started this project, I was saying, wow, in terms of orchestration and colors that I can bring out, there's so many possibilities with the vibes and the clarinet and the piano, you know.
And your drummer, I guess, has to be also kind of Gene Krupa-ish in a way, you know, reinventing that in a way, right?
Definitely. I picked, you know, Matt Wilson is perfect because he can swing and he knows the language of the 20s and 30s. But he can also play as far modern as anybody, you know. So And then tonight we have a dear friend of mine who's been playing with me for years, Ziv Ravitz, who's also one of the best young drummers in my mind around. So he's, you know, also able to kind of push the music forward in a lot of ways, but access that really swinging sound that Gene Krupa had.
And you've come in from Germany for your shows at Peace Express tonight, tomorrow, where you were playing as a quintet, but with the NDR Big Band as well. And that's all been recorded?
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Is that going to be another album for you guys? Or
No, they're probably going to, they're going to put it out on the radio and stuff like that. And then, maybe sometime, we're talking about sometime having me come back and work with a big band to do some new music. But this time we were kind of working on the music of this Reimagining Benny Goodman project.
Great support for the arts in Germany, isn't it?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
We should be ashamed of ourselves, although we do try. Benny Goodman, the man, you've written a piece on the album, When Every Voice Shall Sing, and this really pays tribute to his work to desegregate the segregated side of, you know, racist America, quite frankly. Tell me more about what he said and did and thought and how he tried to change things.
Sure. Well, actually, really 80 years ago in the fall of 1935, after he had a huge success in L.A., he went to Chicago and he was playing every night for 3 months there, broadcast live on the radio. And he used that opportunity to challenge the nation and bring forward the first popular music band that was racially integrated in the U.S. Of course, people had played together all the time, racially integrated, but this is the first time that they were on the radio. They were performing, they were touring, they were putting out records, and this was, he said, this is my band. The trio, originally with Teddy Wilson and Gene Krupa, and then they became a quartet by adding Lionel Hampton. It really, you know, basically, I don't know if in England people are as familiar with Jackie Robinson.
The baseball player.
The baseball player, yeah.
He
you know, he broke the color barrier in baseball.
Yeah.
12 years later. So this is kind of, really changed the face of American society and challenged America. And both in America and around the world, I see that that's kind of something that still is a struggle that goes on. We just saw the other day in Chicago a lot of racial tensions that are coming up. And whenever I travel around the world, I see in different places minority groups that are not allowed to express themselves in certain ways. Mm. So I wrote this piece is kind of based on, you know, in terms of the title, it's a play on the American song "Lift Every Voice and Sing," which is considered the Black national anthem. And this is "When Every Voice Shall Sing."
The clarinet, it's an interesting instrument in my mind as a jazz fan. It always sort of carbon dated jazz way beyond what I was exposed to, which was kind of bebop, stroke, post-bop era, Coltrane and stuff like that. And yet the bass clarinet goes straight to the heart of the really heavy contemporary side of Miles Davis, for example.
Yeah.
It's really interesting how the instrument spans that. And the bass clarinet, for me, is the most sweet sound I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Because you play the bass clarinet as well. Do you prefer one over the other?
Don't tell them.
I mean, what do you like? Do you like Benny Goodman playing his clarinet, or would you like Benny Maupin playing
Benny
his
Maupin. Well, actually, Benny Maupin is a... I got a chance to hang out with him last November. I was here at the festival, playing at the London Jazz Fest, and he was playing at Ronnie Scott's, and we got a chance to hang out a bunch. And actually, we have the same manager, Marianne Topper, and he's been really supportive, and to me he's one of the guys who brought the bass clarinet to as a jazz instrument, you know, him and Eric Dolphy.
What a resonance
that instrument has. It's interesting, you know, everybody loves the bass clarinet but nobody plays it. I just don't understand.
Is it really is it really dainty as an instrument? Because I know it's probably pretty easy to damage one of those things. It's long and thin, isn't it? I know one of the waiters at a venue in London, I think, knocked his over before he was going to play it, and it easily broke.
Yeah.
Where do you keep yours in the hand luggage or?
I never check it. I never ever check it. And the bass clarinet that I play is old. It's like from the 40s.
Yeah.
And every time it requires so much upkeep and stuff.
But, yeah, Reminds me of a story, Bootsy Collins putting the bass, his bass up with a captain in front of the plane for safekeeping. Star Child. It's been lovely talking to you. And, well, if Courtney Pine's listening, he's another exponent of the bass clarinet. Mm. Courtney, you might want to nip along to the Pizza Express, maybe do a little jam session.
That'd be really great.
Just did an album with a pianist, Zai Rahman, of bass clarinet and piano, which sounds amazing. But pleasure talking to you. And we'll play Sing, Sing, Sing from the album What's New, Reimagining Benny Goodman and Aranik Kint. Thank you for passing by.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much.